Chair Champions.
We are the best at sitting in a comfy chair and telling the entire sports world what they should have done and what they should be doing later. Putting it simply, alright everybody, welcome to Armchair Champions. I'm Jason Walker.
And I'm Evan Hall.
And we're here with this segment to bring you all of your National Basketball Association needs. If you want to check out the NFL, you can check out our other little podcast that we're going to post right alongside this. And if you're a Utah State Aggie fan, you can also check out our Aggie podcast that we're going to be doing as well. We're going to talk football and a little bit of basketball for the first time this season. So, check it out. But let's get into the NBA. Now, we've got the three major teams that we've really got our eye on. It's really two, and we've kind of added a third. Everyone here is naming them off as they listen. It's the Cavaliers, the Warriors, and at this point the Spurs, because they blew out the Warriors. So we've got our eye on them for the next little while, until the Warriors start blowing teams out by 60. Although, that may or may not happen. I'm not sold.
They get figured out.
Yeah. And we talked about this last time. We believe the Warriors will figure it out eventually. But they may not be the best team ever. Well, I'm just going to say they aren't. So don't try and convince me because they aren't the best team ever.
Hashtag 96 Bulls.
Woo! I'm going to go back to some of those Celtics teams, to be honest.
Yeah, that might be a good team.
When you have four or five Hall of Fame players on one team... I'll go with that.
Fair enough.
Or the Dream Team. Best team ever.
Yeah.
But that's just not fair. So, aside from those teams that are named Spurs, Warriors, and Cavs, not necessarily best to worst in that order, we're going to be talking about a few teams that you should be keeping your eyes on. These teams are probably not going to be contenders. I wouldn't pick any of them to win. In fact, there's two of them I would not pick in a million years to win the championship this year. And there's two that maybe once in 100,000 years I'd pick them to win the NBA championship. But you'll see why. But there's just some interesting things that you can look for, almost some experiments, and then just some storylines that the media likes and see you might want to keep your eye on it anyway just for kicks and giggles. Well, let's get into the first one. We have the Chicago Bulls.
The surprising team, I think.
Yeah. And so far they've done pretty good, I believe.
Yeah, they're so far 3-0. They've won every game by an average of just under 18 points. So some pretty solid wins.
Yeah, and it really is interesting because you saw them get rid of Derrick Rose. I guess the operative term being get rid of. Yeah. You can insert whatever phrase you want.
Joakim Noah.
Yeah, Joakim Noah. So they kind of dumped the baggage of their old 2008 to 2011 kind of.
The team that just really couldn't get started.
Yeah, mainly because Derrick Rose couldn't stay healthy, which is really the biggest shame in the NBA in the last 10 years.
To just think about like what he could have been if he hadn't suffered those injuries. Yeah,
kind of right alongside Sean Livingston. But even more so with Derrick Rose. But you have really one of the most interesting 1-3 lineups in the NBA. You have Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Jimmy Butler. So you've got Dwayne Wade, who's really on the downslope of his career. Rondo, who's been on the downslope of his career for a while. We kind of ish revived it in Sacramento. He averaged a double-double with points and assists. But you couldn't really call him a pure point guard because he was basically assist hunting. I believe he even admitted to not playing defense for the last 2 years. Not really trying. Playing that James Harden, ole, defense. Except not quite as bad as James Harden. And then you have Jimmy Butler, who's probably the best of the three. Who's actually still a fairly promising player. And so it's certainly an interesting thing. And again, they're 3-0 at this point, so something's working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Not only that, but I think that as a team, they're meshing well together. I mean, you look at their point leaders. Jimmy Butler leads with an average of 20.7, I think was the number of points per game. So he's the only one that's averaging 20 points or more. But they're still winning, and they're winning by a decent margin, at least on two of those games. And so they're sharing the ball. I mean, even though they have only one guy, like I said, in Butler, who's got 20 or more points per game, they're sharing the ball. They're spreading it around. And another interesting fact that I learned just prepping for this podcast is that the Bulls have led I don't know how they're doing right now against Celtics, but at least in the first three games, they've led 95% of the time, which is best in the NBA.
That is really good.
So only 5% have they been behind at all this year. Obviously, it's only three games, so rates and percentages are going to be kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say distorted, but they're sharing the ball and they're winning, but they're still winning decent. By decent margins. So.
Yeah, and there was one guy that I was listening to. If you were to like B-ball breakdown on YouTube, they have some good stuff. The guy I was listening to, he was talking about how these three would fit, and he was pointing out how all these guys seem to be pretty ball dominant. But when you look at the numbers as far as touches that they get, Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler were third on their teams last year in touches per game. Now, Rajon Rondo, he was second in the NBA in average touches per game. So definitely a ball-dominant guy. But if you look at the numbers, Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler can definitely play second fiddle as far as touches. And so I do believe that you're right. They can share the ball, and they're proving that right now.
Well, especially Dwayne Wade. I mean, he's a leader, but at the same time, he's always been very selfless on the field, on the court, excuse me. And you know, this is surprising to me, not just because I'd like to see the Bulls do well, but because I thought, okay, this is a team where they kind of spent money on some older guys. I thought, okay, well, I'm glad Wade will end his career maybe in Chicago, but I don't know. It seemed like kind of too old of a team for me. But they seem to be, you know, gelling together pretty well very early, so.
And so that'll definitely be a team to keep your eye on. They might be a surprise team up there in the Eastern Conference. But speaking of old and speaking of the Eastern Conference, we have the legendary New York Knicks, led by Phil Jackson, who I believe is probably one of the worst. What is he, an executive or a team president? He's basically
team president.
I feel like he's doing what John Elway's doing, except John Elway's doing a good job in the NFL and with the Broncos.
But coaching genius, you know, in Phil Jackson, coaching genius. But I don't know what he basically
wants to be a coach without all of the duties of being a coach. He wants his teams to run the triangle offense, and you know the triangle offense is I got nothing against it. It's a good system, but you know you bring in Jeff Hornacek, let Jeff Hornacek do his thing, and so Jeff Hornacek's probably going to get fired at some point because. I don't know.
And then you lose by 13 to the Pistons.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So.
Yeah, so the Knicks, they're something to keep an eye on. I was not high on them at all. There were guys that were insane enough. There was one guy who said he was asking these questions. It was on a sports talk show. He's basically the moderator. But he's saying, what are the, was it like a good read or a bad read that the Knicks would be the biggest opponent of the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. And I was just like, are you kidding? There's at least four teams.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bulls being one of them that I would put above the Knicks to be a rival, you might say, to rival the Cavaliers in winning the Eastern Conference. You have the Celtics, the Hawks, the Raptors, and the Bulls, probably another two or three teams.
I think if the Bulls were going a little bit older, the Knicks went really old
with
some of their choices.
They picked up the Bulls' garbage, essentially.
Again, the failed remains of what could have been a great run. Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically the 2010 All-Stars. If this were 2010, we'd all be picking the Knicks to win the finals. But they're not. This is 2016. We're half a decade beyond the prime of most of the guys they picked up.
Well, it's a purely short-term move. I mean, it just seems a little impatient to win an NBA championship by saying, okay, we're going to get more established guys who are older, but maybe they'll just bring enough talent to win. But it just seems a little rushed to me.
Yeah.
And so the hype, I would agree, I don't think it's totally justified the way they've been hyped up yet, you know.
And most people are pretty sensible about this. I mean, the Knicks are going to be a playoff team, I believe. They do have enough talent. These guys have enough left in them. But, you know, they're not really going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, so they've lost big to the Pistons and against the Cavaliers. I mean,
which that's if that's the team you're supposed to be contending with, that's not a good sign. I mean, you know, so
yeah, so they're an interesting team to look at.
Well, yeah, and then I don't know. I'm just kind of reminded a little bit of their opening night against Cleveland, and how Joakim Noah during the ring ceremony stayed on the court to shoot warm-ups. And it's like, what are you doing, man? It's not like...
Did you see that shot?
You got to back it up, you know, with stuff if you're going to do something like that.
But. Did you see the jump shot? Vines of it going around Twitter. I happened to see it. He's like about a foot or two inside the three-point line, and he does this two-handed shot that you see on sixth-grade playgrounds and just airballs it. It's like just a like, sixth grader, yeah, like a sixth grader. It's just absolutely hilarious. But one thing, and this escaped my mind for a moment, and I was trying to get it back. One thing I am reminded of when it comes to the New York Knicks, and this is the point you said where they went after old guys, I'm reminded of the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm.
They did the exact same thing, going after. I mean, they had some established guys. They had Darren Williams and Brooke Lopez, but they went after Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and.
And it clearly hasn't worked.
Yeah, it didn't work, and the Nets are now terrible. Yeah,
because you're not putting younger guys to learn and then replace the older crowd.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, the Nets owner is some Russian guy who I don't know if he still owns a team. I heard he was trying to sell it a few years back, but he spent so much money on a team that was really middle of the pack.
After spending a ton of money to get that stadium in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Too.
And so
supposed to be this big kind of overhaul of the entire franchise, moving them out of New Jersey. And then it just kind of fizzled after a couple of years.
And I think they sent half their picks to the Celtics over the next few years. The Celtics are still reaping the benefits.
Look to the Celtics maybe in a few years.
Yeah. They're our next team on this teams to watch. So we're going to move on from the New York Knicks to the Boston Celtics. Now, this is a team. This is the first actual good team, I believe, on this list. And I guess the Bulls are 3-0, so I guess good on them. But the Celtics, to me, are going to be top four at the very least in the Eastern Conference. I would say top three, perhaps even second.
Do we give them a realistic chance to play with the Cavs? Or probably not.
Keep an eye on them.
Okay. Diplomatic answer.
I don't know. I'm just going to say no.
Yeah.
Because the Cavs are really good. And they've got a superstar.
It'd be nice to see some back and forth.
I was hoping to see the Toronto Raptors do it last season. And this year, one of the kind of the analysis I had for the Eastern Conference was that it's going to be more competitive. You've already got the Bulls, who seem to be a bit of a surprise team. I believe the Celtics were going to be up there. The Raptors again. The Atlanta Hawks are still going to be good up there. And so you have more teams up there than it used to be. I mean, still, the bottom of the Eastern Conference is still terrible, and the West is still better in general. Yeah. But instead of the Cavaliers basically walking to the finals, or whatever team LeBron is on at the time.
LeBron walking to the
finals. Yeah, LeBron walking to the finals with whoever's around him. You have teams that are at least going to put up a sort of fight. You had those years where the Pacers were actually putting up a bit of a fight. And so you'd hope to see something similar this year. And the Celtics could be that team. Now, they don't really have a superstar. They just have a collection of good players. And they added Al Horford, which I think it's pretty intriguing. It'll definitely make them better. And so it is one of those teams to keep an eye on. They've got some good players. And they've got Isaiah Thomas. And like I said, they've got Al Horford. They've got some young guys. Marcus Smart's not that bad. You look at some of the other players.
All the young players that could have been on the Nets.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. And you've got guys like Avery Bradley. Like I said, you know, Jay Crowder. They just drafted Jaylen Brown, who will be, you know, he's a rookie right now. So they've got a number of players who are pretty decent. Again, no superstar, but, you know, I mean, maybe Isaiah Thomas, their superstar, is averaging 24.7 points per game right now. And then Avery Bradley is averaging 21.3. So maybe they're kind of 1-2 guard combo. But it's just something that's interesting to me because they're one of the teams that I predicted would make a jump. Now, they did win 48 games last season, but I believe they're going to make a jump into actually seriously contending-ish for the East. And I say ish because, again, it's the Cavaliers, guys. Come on. So the next team, my hometown boys, the Utah Jazz. Maybe I'm just saying this because I'm a Utah Jazz fan, and this is the only Western Conference team on here. This tells you my opinion of how much higher the East needs to go. Like, yeah. You know, the trajectory that needs to happen, it needs to go up. And I think it is. It's getting better. But with the Jazz, they got pretty scary depth. And I was just thinking about it the other day. If they get fully healthy, which right now they're not, they're missing Gordon Hayward. They've got a banged-up Derek Favors.
So a couple of big pieces.
Yeah. Their two best players are either playing at best half the game, and then one their best player is not playing at all, and they just beat the Spurs, by the way. So they went on the road and beat the Spurs, so pretty impressive. But they've got just you think when they get fully healthy, they'll be starting a lineup of George Hill, who's averaging 20 points a game right now, Rodney Hood, who's pretty decent, Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, and Rudy Gobert. Then their bench will be like Dante Exum, Alec Burks, Joe Johnson, Trey Lyles, and probably Boris Diaw.
So not a bad.
Yeah.
Bad start.
Their bench, several of those players, I'd be relatively comfortable starting for a long stretch of game, mainly 1-4. You replace Boris Diaw with a decent center, and I'd actually be sort of comfortable with that team starting a lot of games. They basically be kind of like the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, they'll win their share of games, but, you know, they'll still lose a lot. But it's their second unit. Their second unit could beat the top units of a number of teams because you've got several players who could start. Like, all those players have 20 or more starts under their belts. It's pretty ridiculous. And so that's one of the reasons why I think the Jazz are going to be really good.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, I would also say the fact that they are the only Western Conference team on this list, I think shows not just how much better I think the Western Conference generally is, but also how good the Western Conference is at whole team building. I mean, you look at the great teams in the West over the past few years, like Golden State and the Spurs, it's a whole team unit that they've got going on. Whereas I don't see that as much in the East. I mean, LeBron is dominant enough that he could carry. I'd say he could carry a lot of teams pretty darn close to the championship. But the West, it's like you've got a whole unit of guys that are all working together. And so I think that's part of what this list reveals too. So
yeah, it's the Jazz have definitely built their team, and yeah, the Eastern Conference teams have kind of built teams around superstars. LeBron has basically been on two or three different teams that just have a couple of good players besides him, mainly just the Heat and the Cavs in recent years. But moving on from these teams to watch. So, again, the Bulls, the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Jazz. Those are teams that you should really be keeping your eyes on for a few different reasons. Two of them, because they're almost social experiments, and two, because they actually might be kind of good this season. Now, we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about an interesting phenomenon that I've never really seen before. I felt like I haven't seen this kind of thing before. You have several teams, and funnily enough, you talk about building whole teams. All three of these teams are in the West, and they've done the exact opposite of what you've done, or what you explained. And that is, they have one guy basically doing everything for their team. And the first one is the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, last time we talked about how Anthony Davis had almost half of the entire statistical production of his team in their opening game. He's still doing those kind of things.
Yeah, and he was someone that I think we discussed, and I raised this opinion that, you know, barring the Pelicans being a one-man team, he should be considered for MVP if he keeps up the kind of production he's done. But, so I agree that's a one-man team. Because, I mean, plus not only does he do half of their statistical output, but also the fact that they're scoring triple digits and still losing, you know.
Yeah, that's something that you'll notice with all these teams is that we're going to talk about. The other two are the Thunder and the Rockets. They aren't necessarily the best teams. Now, the Thunder are undefeated at this point. So keeping that in mind.
Granted that they did obviously lose Kevin Durant over the summer, too.
Yeah, and so they are still doing pretty good. They're one of two undefeated teams in the West. The other one being, can you guess it?
Portland?
No.
Oh, okay.
The Clippers.
Clippers.
The Clippers beat Portland in the Clippers' first game.
Oh, okay.
So. Well,
they weren't even on my radar.
Yeah. See? They're good. They're the only team that's been in the top four in the West at the end of the season in the past 4 years. They've had a top four seed each year for the past 4 years. No other team's done that in the West.
Which is crazy because I still feel like they don't get a ton of attention.
Well, it's because they never do anything.
Yeah.
They've never been the number one seed. I don't even know if they've been the number two seed. They're just always kind of up there, but not really actually contending. But we talked about this last time with Anthony Davis, so before we move on to Russell Westbrook, a lot of his statistical domination is because the rest of his team, a lot of other players on his team, key players, are injured. And so that's why you look at his scoring totals. He scored 50 in their first game, 45 in their next game, 18 in their next game, so not that great. He only played 32 minutes, though. He scored 35 against the Bucks, and they've lost all their games so far. And right now they're playing Memphis, and I believe they're winning. That's what it looks like.
So far.
It says 48-41, but it's not telling me who's 48 and who's 41. So I don't know. They're probably up 48-41. He's only scored 6 points so far in 15 minutes. So maybe he's slowing down a little bit, but he's still been a one-man team, just crazy.
Yeah.
And he's really carrying this team. And one day he's going to break his back carrying the Pelicans.
Yeah, because if they ever lose him for a stretch for injury, I mean, that's just devastating.
Yeah.
For that team, at least.
They'll never get off the ground. Now, moving on to Russell Westbrook. He is averaging a triple-double. It's crazy. He's probably even more of a one-man team than Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis isn't averaging 12 assists a game.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook's averaging almost 12 assists a game. In three games, you look at his stats over three games. Points, 32 against the 76ers. 51 against the Suns, 33 against the Lakers. He had 9 assists and 12 rebounds in the first game, so he almost had a triple-double, but in the next two games he had a triple-double. So 2 out of 3 games he's had a triple-double. I wouldn't be super surprised to see Russell Westbrook average a triple-double. It would not surprise me.
I think he's proving that he can manage that team.
So far.
I think, he's trying to prove. I don't know how much real beef there may be with Kevin Durant, so to speak. But I think he's at least proven to everybody that he doesn't absolutely need
Kevin Durant. He's on a mission.
Yeah.
He's definitely on a mission, and he wants to prove anything. Now, one thing that I would watch, this is another thing to keep your eye on, is how he does after the All-Star break. You see, he's coming out of the gate absolutely on fire. He's smoking everybody. Nobody can stop him.
He's got something to prove.
Yeah. But can he keep this up? Can he keep averaging 39 points a game, almost 12 assists a game, and just over 12 rebounds a game? Can he really keep that up for an entire season? The obvious answer is no. The points is definitely going to come down. Maybe the assists, maybe the rebounds. We'll see. But can he keep this up? And only time will tell. But he's going to be a one-man team for quite a while. He's going to be dominating the ball, doing everything he can. I mean, when you look at the game against the Suns, he shot 44 shots.
Jeez.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. 44 shots. And I'm trying to look up to see how many the rest of the team shot. Because usually that's at the very least going to be half of your shots for a team. The internet's going slow, so I can't really figure it out. But it's crazy. You already got two guys who are being one-man teams so far. And there's a third, James Harden. He's the point guard for
averaging
the Houston Rockets.
Twice as many points as the next guy, Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
So
he's, I don't know why they decided James Harden should be the point guard, but whatever. But he's actually leading the NBA in assists right now, 11.8. I did see him have a pretty sweet behind the back pass to, I believe it was his center. No, it was Clint Capella, I believe. He's actually a power forward. But yeah, he's another one-man team where he's averaging 32 points a game, almost 12 assists a game, just over 7 rebounds a game. Just, I don't know what to think of all these guys who are putting up such statistically crazy numbers. And obviously, these are just three or four game stretches, depending on the player. But if this continues, I don't know what to think. Because, okay, they're superstars. But this is ridiculous. This is 1v5.
Which you can't win like that, at least in the West. You can't.
Yeah, you can't win at all. LeBron couldn't do it. When he was on the Cavs those early years, he couldn't do it. He was even in the East.
Well, I mean, although I would say this Rockets team, though, Tuesday, they only lost by 8. I mean, obviously it's 8. So it's not.
And losing by 8 in the NBA could be you were within 2
to
and you foul. Yeah. So. And it could have been, and I'd have to look at the game, you could have just like fouled and then they make 2 free throws. You miss a shot, you foul again, you do that, and they end up winning by 10 points when it was really a close game. So losing by 8 isn't necessarily a blowout.
Yeah, against a good Cavs team.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and it is interesting to look at the records because you have the Pelicans who are winless thus far. You have the Rockets, who are at 500, and then you have the undefeated Thunder. Those are the one-man teams you've got. If you average it all out, they're basically at 500, I believe. Maybe one game under, because I think the Pelicans have played 4 games. So it'll be interesting to see which of these teams can manage to have one guy doing basically everything for them. You're probably right.
I think it'll be interesting to see how long they can keep it up. But from an organizational standpoint, it's just ridiculous to not try and give a good player, for instance, like Anthony Davis, to not give him more help on the court. Or at least not to be able to figure out how to give him more help on the court.
Yeah.
So
something's got to change for some of these teams, especially the Pelicans, because they're being terrible.
Yeah.
And the Thunder, I think the Thunder have good pieces around Westbrook, so I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
And if Russell Westbrook doesn't die from putting up nearly 40 points a game.
Doesn't exhaust himself to that. Yeah.
Then, and if those were to go down, they'll definitely be an upper-tier Western Conference team. The Jazz will be fighting them for the division the division title, which doesn't really mean anything in the West, or in the NBA, I should say. Yeah. Division titles don't really mean anything. But with the Rockets, I don't really like James Harden that much. I wouldn't have him on my team, which is something we might talk about in this podcast or the players in the NBA, because I've thought about this. There are players in the NBA who are really good that I would not have on my team, even if they're really good. James Harden's one of them. Carmelo Anthony's another. And so I don't believe the Rockets are ever really going to be good with James Harden on that team unless James Harden decides to not be a moron and play defense.
Kind of one of the fundamentals of basketball. But
yeah. And I'll get on James Harden all day about his defense. There was one guy, though, at the risk of getting off topic, who was defending James Harden by saying he's playing more minutes than anybody else, and he's doing so much on offense, so he's too tired. I was like, if you're too tired, get off the court.
Got to have fresh legs in the NBA.
Yeah. So James Harden, play defense. You're not a matador. Don't let your guys score. There's some embarrassing defensive highlights of James Harden. But they're almost hilarious. But that's about it for our NBA podcast today. Those are the teams. There's some teams you should be watching. You'll be watching the Bulls, the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Jazz, along with watching the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Cavaliers. But if you're getting tired of watching these top teams dominate everybody, you can look for some storylines in those other four teams that we've talked about.
Yeah.
And then obviously the players, the one-man teams that you might be looking at, you can be intrigued by. You can definitely be looking at James Harden, who could very well lead the league in points and assists this year, to lead the league in both of those categories.
Or it's like Anthony Davis, where his talents might have been in being wasted on a team that is not giving him, you know, that point. Because 50 points a game, and they're still not winning even when they do put up triple digits.
That's Wilt Chamberlain numbers.
Yeah. So he's great. I just don't think the organization's given him anything.
Yeah. So maybe someday Anthony Davis is going to leave, and heck, maybe he'll end up on the Lakers or something. The Bulls.
Oh, I'm sorry, my inner fan spoke out there.
Go to the 76ers. Heaven knows they need something.
Yeah. Maybe, but I don't know, he might be tired of being a one-man team. Anywho.
All right, thanks, everybody. My name is Jason Walker.
And I'm Evan Hall.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to Armchair Champions.